10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm on. Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? All right. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, August the 1st, y'all. Hey, that means July has come and gone. Whew, man, I'm telling you. If these things almost months aren't flying by, this year ain't flying by, I don't know what is. But hey, welcome to the show. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your host, Mr. Talk. Hey, we got an outstanding show planned for you today. Man, do we. When does discipline become abuse? Man, that's basically a continuation from what we were speaking about yesterday at the end of the show, which was corporal punishment of things of that nature. So I'm looking for another hard rocking show today. So I hope you come getting comfortable. You know, grabbing that Joe, that glass of wine, bottle of water, whatever it's going to take for you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. What TF? WTF, I see you out there in the chat room. Thank you for joining us today. Oh, man. It's nice to be here, I'm telling you. That's one smooth groove right there, man. You can't meet that groove. I'm telling you. But, you know, when I was thinking doing this topic today, I was thinking about it, man. And it was, when does discipline become abuse? Discipline should never become abuse. You know, and that's just some of the things that went through my mind at the time. But it's all right, because we're going to talk about this a little bit more in depth with the crew, because we know the crew are not going to be able to stay away from this one. That's for dang on sure. Oh, man. So how y'all doing out there today? I'm telling you, this is as hot day as it is where I am, because, man, I'm telling you, we baking over here. That's for dang sure. It's so hot right now. Satan himself decided to go and sit under some shade tree. That's how hot it is, man. It is warm over here. My grain, what's going on, man? I see you out there. I'm waiting on you because, you know, I know you always got something to start off with. Now, if you want to join the conversation today once we get started, that's no problem. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622, or you can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Oh, you know, and you know what, my grain, I'm with you on that one. But I think as I'm about to, as we get into the show, I'm going to bring it up even more. I think a lot of people get hung up on those words, on certain words like beat and whipping. And those are two of the main ones, beatings and whippings. You know, a lot of people get upset up when you use those words when you talk about disciplining your children. But you know what? That goes back to, as I've been saying a long time on this show, and I'm going to continue to say it because it's so true. You know, we as adults, as parents, as a society, we're pussified. We have gotten so freaking soft and politically correct that you can't even say you're going to beat your child now. You know, you can't say that. If you say you're going to beat your child, you know what happened? They're liable to call CPS on you. Imagine that. Hey, man. And it really makes you, it's just like, wow. Because I said I'm going to beat my child. That don't mean, you know, and they literally mean think you're going to go in there and just start throwing them up against the walls. At a certain age, yeah, you might want to do that. But You know, and I think that's part of the problem between the definition of discipline and abuse. You know, it's the perception of the people getting stuck on a lot of words instead of understanding what the people themselves are saying about their children, about how they discipline, they're handling their children. No one, you know, it's just amazing. But before I get too far into that, that's what we're going to be talking about today. And you know, Migraine just brought it out in the beginning. He really did. And it's all good, though. We're going to continue to talk. We're going to talk about that, though. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Of course we are, y'all. You know, and of course, we know corporal punishment is going to come into play during this conversation. And I'm going to go on out there and say it now so everybody understand what my position is on corporal punishment. Yes, I believe in corporal punishment. Yes, I do. I have no problem with that as long as it is administered correctly. I really do. I don't see the harm that so many so-called experts want you to believe that corporal punishment causes. If it's done right, it doesn't cause any dang-gone problems. None whatsoever. But then again, this is society. This is the society that we live in today. This is the world that we have prepared our children to go and grow old in. You know, just softness. And that's all it is. It's just making the parents soft because everybody want to listen to the so-called experts about what's going, what's right for your child. You understand what I'm saying? You know, what's this for your child? Well, I got news for y'all. You don't have to live with my child. I got to live with my child. My child has to respect me. I'm sorry. Now, you can do what you want to do, but mine going to respect me. And if that takes corporal punishment, then so be it, and it shall be done. That's all I'm saying. I know Migraine. They pass unconstitutional laws about abortion because apparently them land of itself is a bad thing, but nobody puts more people on death row than they do. Not only death row, they actually use their death row, Migraine. Yes, that's right. They actually electrocute people. I'm saying about that. Okay. Let's get on with some get on real fast. All right. Are y'all aware that, check this out, there's a village or a community in Texas. Migraine, you got me talking about Texas. In South Florida. Deep in sugarcane country, on the edge of the Everglades, where it's a town of about 200 people live, okay? But more than 100 of them are registered sex offenders. You understand? And let me explain. People who were found guilty have usually served a prison sentence for a sex crime. All right? There's only one woman, but the rest of them are men. Now, and this little town was created. It was there beforehand, but it was turned into like a therapy city, I guess, for these individuals that was set up by a late minister in 2009. What do y'all think about that? All right, there's no. But now, see, here's the thing: they're 2 miles away from the nearest town. And there's no kids in this little community. You know? What do y'all think about that? Is that a good idea? Just put them all in one, just let them live in little cities of their own. You know, they've done the crime, they've done their time. So now we putting them in a city of their own away from each other. Does that make it easier for the authorities to keep track of them because they're all right there in that same community? What do y'all think about that? And here's the thing. It's run, you know, they have to put in applications to go to this city. They just can't move there. You know, they have to submit applications with the church that's, you know, over. You know, saying, yeah, nay, you can come and live in this little community. And the church has said they do not try to accept people with a history of violence or drugs or to take any diagnosed pedophiles, you know, basically as someone who can only become aroused by a child. So if they're maintaining this criteria and these guidelines, is this a good idea just to let them have their own little community? That way, I was thinking about this earlier. I said, well, that's crazy. You got all these folk in one place at the same time. That's a recipe for disaster. But I thought about it also. If you do that, then, you know, it's easy to keep track of them, actually. Because, you know, they're right there in that little city. You have the addresses. You understand? It's just a thought process, I guess. I was thinking about that. Because it's you can say, okay, no, that's not good. But they're in their own little community. You know, there's no schools, no parks, no nothing right there. You know, they go out and go to work during the day. But at a certain time of night, you know, they need to be back in their little bungalows, their houses. And once a week, the authorities come and check to make sure everybody is where they're supposed to be. That's not too bad, is it? I mean, they've done their time. I don't know. Maybe I'm on a separate level on this one here. But, that's sort of not a bad idea. You know, at least you know where they are. And that's my point. I take it that's the point I'm trying to make. At least you know where they are. You don't have to guess. You know, you don't have to put it up on a Google map or anything like that. You know, if you go to Miracle City in South Florida, you know that you'll find a whole community of sex offenders. Now, isn't that easy to figure it out? And that, his name is Miracle Village. That's the name of it. Miracle Village. And it's quite interesting. I thought it was an interesting article that was written. Yeah, I can go and check it out. It's called Miracle Village, as I said. Yeah, I can go check it out and read more upon it. But I think it's not a bad idea. Number one, it puts them all in one area, which is a good thing. Okay? They're 2 miles from the nearest town. Okay? However, you know, they do have rules and things they must abide by before they can move in this little village. So it's not like they're just allowed to move there and they have free reign of the place. No. No, it's not like that. You know, there's still things they have to follow and routines and things of that nature. So hopefully, I think it's a good idea. I don't want to see too many. I mean, if they out there near the Everglades, that's fine. They feed them to one of the damn alligators. That's what I say. But, yeah, so that's what's going on down there. And I just thought I'd put that out there, let y'all marinate on that for a little while. Because I'm sure there's some offenders in all of our neighborhoods we just not aware of. How many of you actually checked to see how many offenders were in your neighborhood or in your area? I bet you'd be surprised at the numbers you pull up. You probably go to your local map and MapQuest or whatever and pull it up and do research, and you'll probably find it. Yeah, you'll probably find out. It's more than you think. Your neighborhood is not as prestigious and not as clean as you may think it is. That's all I'm saying, y'all. That's all. Yeah, Migraine, I know. Russia decided to let Edward Snowden live there for a year. Well, I mean, oh well, if that's what he want to do. Don't think the CIA not going to be looking for him, though. They're going to go after the man. It's just simple. They're going to go after him. And it's okay, let them go after him. Hey, that's between them and Russia and everybody else who want to be involved with that mess. I'm not, you know, that's one of the things I don't worry about anymore when it comes to stuff like that, because number one, he didn't release anything that we didn't know. Only thing he helped do was verify what many believe what was going on. Understand? So you know, for them to make this big thing about, you know, and the only thing that is the government trying to save face. That's all. That's all it is. And they want to use him as a scapegoat, but he beat them at their own game right now. So, and of course, you know, with the with the foreign relationships with other countries the way they are right now, anybody probably say, yeah, he can stay here for right now. Just as you say, screw you, America. We this is our chance to show you you can't do nothing to us. I mean, really, what are we going to do? We're going to use the military to go in there and just get that one man? Hey, oh, shit, we did that already, didn't we? Wow. Well, I guess it is a possibility. Edward Snowden, you better keep running. Because we will send somebody after you. If it takes the whole United States military, we coming to get you, son. Oh, man. That's, you know what's so funny, though? It's a shame when you start talking, you answer your whole question, right? Man, I tell you, that is something that, yeah, so it is possible that we will send our own people to get our own, get one man. Okay. All right. Anyway, enough of Snowden, enough of the pedophiles living in one community. 504, Mr. Lowe, I see you out there, man. Thank you for joining us. Guest 1642-667, thank you for joining us also. Welcome to the show. Today we're going to discuss. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I forgot. The house rules are as follows. Act as an adult when you call the show. Okay, I had to get that in there, okay? Now, yes, I did forget that part of it. But it's okay. We got it now. We've got it now. Okay, yeah. All right. Respect everyone's time to speak. Make sure someone's, you know, in person. No personal attacks allowed on the show. And that's all. We love to hear everybody's opinion. That's it. That is the, those are the house rules. We ask that you abide by them. If you don't, well, you see what happened. I'm going to leave some marks on you. Okay. Anyway, welcome to the show, y'all. Today, we're going to be talking about when discipline becomes abuse. And the first thing we must do is define what each of those words mean. And let's start with discipline, man. Discipline. What is discipline? Training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. Now that's according to the Webster Dictionary Online. Yeah. Discipline is training that corrects, molds, or perfects mental faculties or moral character. Now, y'all listen to the words that are being used. Abuse, it says that abuse is defined as improper or excessive use of treatment. Now, okay. Now, y'all got that, right? Okay, all right. Now, you know, there's all kind of parents out there that say they spank their children to teach them how to behave. Okay? And I'm one of those type of parents. Yeah. You know, I will get on my butt to help, you know, help him understand that what he's doing is wrong and he need to correct whatever he did wrong. But, of course, as in always, you have other parents out there or many people who say that spanking impressionable children may reduce bad behavior in the short term, but in the long term is a poor example on how to solve problems or deal with difficult situations. I don't know what the hell they've been looking at, but that's what they feel that spanking your child can do. That you actually, what you're doing is helping out for right then, but later on in life or later on as they get older, you know, they're going to have problems, have issues solving problems or dealing with situations that is just a little bit more complex than what they're used to. And spanking them is going to cause all this stuff. Are you really going for that one? Are you really going for that one? Now, and here's the thing about it. It's funny because the people who think of these things, you make you wonder, do they, number one, do they have any kids? Number one, did they grow up in a household where it was just them? Did they have siblings? You know, did they grow up with parents that really paid attention to them or didn't pay attention to them. You know, because I don't understand, but we're going to get into that even more. The American Academy of Pediatrics has said corporal punishment is of limited effectiveness and has potentially deleterious side effects. Okay. In other words, they're saying spanking your child can cause problems later on. Now, as I mentioned before, I am a big believer in corporal punishment, and I have no problem with being used when administered correctly. I've said that before. I've said it earlier today, and I'm going to say it again. Now, however, let's get this right. However, I do feel that a lot of people are get hung up on the words that many proponents of corporal punishment use. Instead of hearing what the parents are trying to say that are for corporal punishment. That's right. But a lot of people get caught up on words like whipping, spanking, even punishing sometimes. You know, beating. You know, it gets so caught up in just what the wording, to they miss the point of when you actually are doing the right thing when you discipline your child, whether it's corporal punishment or not. Is your if you're doing it correctly and it's working for you, why stop because some so-called experts say it's wrong or some so-called experts say it's right? But if that being said, when does the right thing become the wrong thing? And that is the issue we're going to talk about a little bit today. You know, when does the right type of corporal punishment all of a sudden becomes the wrong type of corporal punishment? When does that cool, calm parent just goes beyond that line that's there supposed to separate you from doing that? Now, it's something to think about, right? Right. All right. Well, I'm going to let y'all marinate on that for a moment. So let's get ready for a great show, y'all. Now it's time for the quote and the song of the day. Y'all thought I forgot about that. I did forget that. Forget about it. The quote of the day is a good one, man. I'm telling you, the quote of the day is on the bomb again. Here's the quote of the day. One's dignity may be assaulted, vandalized, and cruelly mocked, but it can never be taken away unless it is surrendered. Do you understand? Do you understand? They can make fun of you all day long. They can call you whatever, limp leg, neck, big nose, book of breath, whatever they want to call you. You understand? But until you go ahead and respond to what you give them their dignity, let them know that you're facing, let you know that they're really getting to you, they can never really hurt you. I don't care. That's right. One's dignity may be assaulted, vandalized, or cruelly mocked, but it can never be taken away when it is surrendered, unless it's surrendered. And that is the quote of the day. All right, that was the quote of the day. Now, we need to get to the what, y'all? What do we need to get to right now? The song of the day. We're going to the song of the day. And the song of the day is a solo by myself. And I hope y'all enjoy it because I worked hard to make sure that it was correct and that the wording was right and the music was okay. So, without further ado, I'm about to begin the song of the day. Here we go. All right. Boy, somebody left. I was joking. I'm not singing for real. I was joking. Good Lord. Wow. That, you know, that's a shame. Anyway, without further ado, y'all, here it is, the song of the day.
Through that stormy cloud. Now here we are gathered in our little hometown. This can't be the way you meant to draw a crowd. Oh, I, that's what I keep asking. Was there anything I could have said or done? Oh, I had no clue you were masking a troubled soul. God only knows what went wrong. And why you leave the stage in the middle of a song?
That was a song called Why by Rascal Flatts, and I liked it, so I played it, and I hope you understood the message I was trying to say. But for some of y'all that didn't, oh, well, just go and check the song out. You'll figure it out. Anyway, back to my opening monologue. Welcome back to the show, y'all. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk, and if you want to join the conversation today, give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or go to my Facebook page. Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. Now, if you don't feel like talking live on the air, that's no problem. I have a chat room, and the chat room is open. All they have to do is go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Eric Jackson 62, and it puts you right there in the chat room. Just log in with whatever social media site you're using, and bam, you're good. You're there, and you can have a conversation in the chat room. We don't need to know who you are. We can just talk it up and chat it up and have some fun. Hey, because the chat room always has a conversation going on, and it's usually very intriguing and and interesting. That's for sure. So those are the ways you can be a part of the show today. All right. Yeah. Now, as we was talking, we were saying earlier, today's topic is when does discipline become abuse? And wow, that is a good one. And you know, I got just received a text that said, you know, if the doctors, they don't want you using corporal punishment, but they're quickly to use medication to sedate your children to make them walk around like mummies and zombies and whatever else you have, instead of allowing you to properly discipline your child. Now, as I have spoken before, and I'll say it again right now, I am for corporal punishment. I don't have a problem with that once if it's used correctly. Now, yesterday's show, we had Kat called in, and Kat gave us an example of what she considered to be abuse, and she let her feelings be known that she's definitely not for corporal punishment. And, you know, and the interesting part about that, it was based on something that happened in her life, whether it was earlier in her life or later in her life, but it was an experience that she happened. And in a lot of instances, that is how discipline eventually turns into abuse. It really is, in a lot of instances. Now, even though I'm an advocate for corporal punishment, there's a difference between, you know, between actually properly disciplining your child and just beating up on them just to be beaten up on them. You know, because one thing, here's an important fact that a lot of people don't understand. Knowledge, I see you, man. Thank you for joining us today. As parents, when it comes to discipline your children, okay? Now, you have to remember, number one, kids are going to be kids. That's why they call them kids, okay? That is why you call them kids, because they are little people that's trying to learn how to live in the world. And I'm saying this because you have some of them parents, okay, that just does not get it. You know, you just cannot say you're going to punish the child for everything, every little thing they do. You can't do that. You can't do that. Because a child is a child. They're going to make mistakes. Just like you and as adults, you make your mistakes. Nobody there to slap you upside your head. But you know what? Sometimes somebody should be there to slap you upside your head just so you know what it feels like. Do you understand what I'm saying? A kid is going to be a kid. A child is going to be a child. Yes, they're going to run around. Yes, they're going to make noise. Yes, they're going to break things. Yes, they're going to waste things. It's simple. But in the same token, that does not mean you have to go around and beat on them every time they do something wrong. That's right. As I said before, I am a big proponent for corporal punishment if it is administered correctly. And I can't see you beating on your child every time they do something wrong as being administered correctly. That's when it starts harboring around abuse. Now, to you, it may not seem that way. Subconsciously, if you go back and think about yourself and when you were getting punished, supposedly punished as a kid, I'm sure you'll see a correlation between the way you were punished and the way you're doing your children. It doesn't take a doctor or with a PhD or anything to figure that one out. Hell, when I was on the show last night, I started thinking about when I was a kid. And, you know, a lot of say, man, when I was a kid, I used to get my butt tore up. I'd get my butt reamed. But I'm sure if you really go back and think about it, it wasn't as frequently as you believe. Well, for some of you, maybe. For some of the other ones, it may have been. But it just seemed like it was a lot. But if you go back and think about it today, it really wasn't as frequently as you may think. And if you think about it, in a lot of instances, you treat your kids the same way today. So is it a cycle or is it I guess you say layers on an onion? You know, instead of peeling and getting to the core of the onion, you steady adding more levels of layers on it. Because you haven't taken time to realize that the same thing that happened to you as a kid, you're now turning around and doing to your children. I know y'all think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you like it is. No, that's when regular discipline actually becomes abuse. Because now you getting angry just to get angry. And some of you are not even angry. You just want to hit something. Oh, that's my child. As soon as he or she breathes wrong, there you go on that ass. Excuse the language, but there you go on that ass. Why? Why are you beating on your child? Now, y'all, like I'm going to keep saying it the whole show. You must remember, I am a proponent for punishment. I am. I believe in corporal punishment. You're just not going to be doing anything to the children, though. You know, I call them little people. That's my name for them. And I love little people because little people are funny. Little people will teach grown folks some things. If you sit there and watch them and talk to them long enough, they'll say some things you'll be like, why didn't I think of that? But the point is still, you know, there is a line that you do not cross as a parent when it comes to disciplining your children. Number one, if you're that angry, if you're super, super angry, don't you touch that child. That's right. Don't touch that child. Even I wouldn't even do that. You need to walk away, call somebody, go and sit down and have you a cocktail. Do like my grand do, drink a bottle of wine, do something, but do not touch that child. Now you're saying, why shouldn't I touch him? He just messed up. The reason why you shouldn't touch that child, number one, you're pissed off. You're angry. You're really not angry at the child. You're angry at something else, but you're going to take it out on that child, which means, number two, you don't know the strength you're about to use when you go at your child. I see the phone lines ain't busy today. Nobody want to talk about this. That's all right. I can talk about it. I can talk about this. And you know the funny thing about it, I was talking about this the other day. You know, I remember the day when nobody would call in, I had to just talk and monologue my whole show. So don't think I can't do it. Oh, I can do it. I get on that box and keep going. But here's the thing. Parents, you have to know when you are at your limit, okay? You really do. You know, if you are that angry, that upset, that is the time to use things such as time out or go to your room and stay there or whatever it is. Just get the child, get you and distance between you and the child. That's what I'm saying. Just get some distance between y'all because right now you're really pissed off. You can't. And the only person there right now is that child. And the only thing you want to do is take it out on a child. And this is a problem a lot, especially in the single-parent homes, because they have no one to talk out problems with. You know, usually they come home, the lights may be off, or the next day the lights going to be turned off. You know, it's near the end of the month, they done ran out of stamps, don't know where food coming from, children running around just making noise because children don't realize what's going on. They playing, having fun. But you, as the parent, you done got all stressed out and worried and that little thing just going to set you off. Just a little thing. Well, you know what? That's when you need to get away from that child. That's right. I'd like to say, go and smoke a doobie or something. I'm not going to have a kid either. Because some of y'all be like, oh, there go Mr. Talk telling people go and smoke drugs. Well, I'm not going to do that either. Now, to give you an example of what actually bad discipline is, I'm going to play this clip for you. And I want y'all to really listen to what this lady says she did to her children.
We've tried a lot of different things to punish the kids.
Why did you lie to me?
We've tried timeouts with Kristoff.
If I have to yell at you again, you're going to get it.
That is a big joke. Spanking, we've learned, does not work with Kristoff. He'll turn and look at you like, is that all you've got? Is that all you're going to do to me? I have had him do jumping jacks before. It works for a little while until he's completely exhausted. When Kristoff lies, we put soap in his mouth.
Don't spit it!
It had no effect. So we went to hot sauce.
Open.
We've been having a lot of problems. It'll stay in the bathroom, so it's handy when we need it. When Kristoff gets a cold shower,
get undressed right now.
I am at the end of my rope.
You are to do what you are told!
Nothing's gotten the results that I want.
Do you understand what I am telling you?
I want him to obey and listen and to understand the consequences of his choices.
You knew what would happen, right?
Nothing I've done has worked. I would definitely say that Kristoff is the biggest stress in my life.
All right. Excuse me. I'm sorry. And, you know, that's an example. That is a prime example of what you don't do with your kids. You know, I don't even know what to say about that clip right there. That's about the 15th time I've heard it, and I'm still speechless when I hear it. You know, soap, hot sauce, cold showers, really? I don't understand. Now, that is an example of a bad parent there to me. That is abuse to me. I'm sorry. That's what that is. The phone lines are open. So 347-838-8622. Give me a call and let's talk about this thing today. When does discipline become abuse? And I have one caller on the line. My throat is dry. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all sound a little funny. All right, Joe, what's going on?
Where'd you get the clip from?
Oh, I got the clip off of, this is a Dr. Phil show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I only heard the last few seconds, but I'm guessing that everything that she tried just didn't work, huh?
Right. You know, and that's another thing I think parents do a lot of that causes problems when it comes to disciplining your child. Quit threatening in your children. You know, kids aren't dumb. You know, you keep threatening and threatening and threatening, but you never do anything. So when you finally do, they be like, okay, so what? Because they know next time you're going to threaten another 155 times before you get around to doing something. And they become immune to it. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
What you got to say on the subject, Joe? I'm on the top moment, but the throat kind of dry. So go ahead.
Okay.
Tell me what's on your mind.
There's a program out that was created by a husband and wife team. I forget, total something or other. And it's for troubled kids. Now, I haven't heard it, so I don't know how effective it is. But it has something to do with making sure that your kids, within a few minutes, start to obey you and stop their obnoxious behavior. And it doesn't have anything to do with corporal punishment. I have to look further into that. But that sounds interesting. It came to mind.
Yeah, I've seen that commercial 800 times. In fact, it just was on a couple of hours ago. I remember that. But here's the thing, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Should you have to rent a video to learn how to discipline your child?
Have to grant a what?
Should you
what?
Should you rent a video to show you how to discipline
rent a video.
Your child?
If they're not doing it properly. If what they're doing doesn't work, you better get some advice from somebody.
Okay. And I mean, there's nobody in your family can help you?
Guess not. Take a look at the situation in America.
For somebody else?
Nah. Apparently not. Look, let's take a look at the situation in America today. Right?
Yo, you want to take a look at the situation in America? In America?
It sucks, doesn't it? Well,
yeah,
so parents aren't
every
doing
year,
something
3.3
right.
3 million reports of child abuse are made in the United States involving 6 million children. That's a shame. And then, to top it off, in the United States every day, 5 children actually die from abuse-related, you know, issues. So, we need to talk to the parents. Don't you think we need to really get on the parents a little bit more and
mm-hmm.
teach them what they need to do? What is the correct way to do corporal punishment and what is not the correct way? And all corporal punishment is not bad?
Well, they don't understand it. That's their
but
problem.
I'm just saying. No, it's not their problem. It becomes the kids' problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, no, it's not just the parents' problem. Hold on, let me bring Vernon in.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Vernon, welcome to the show. What's happening?
What's up, cuz?
Hey, cuz.
Oh, no.
Man, nothing, cuz.
Oh, man.
What's up with you?
Oh, I see you got another good one, another slobber knocker today, huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I call him a head knocker. Yeah, I got another one today. Yeah.
Hey,
I'm not going to lie. It popped in my head during yesterday's show. So, yeah, we need to get on this one a little bit. Do some little education and talking about this a little bit.
you know, Joe was talking about look at America today. You know, you look at our prison system, man. You know,
mm-hmm.
how easy our prison systems have gotten, man. You know, it ain't really nothing about prison that's going to make a criminal not want to go there. It's the ideal place to be.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Wait a minute, mm-hmm. wait. No, I don't. What does that have to do with disciplining your child?
Joe was talking about a look at the world today. You know, I was going to get to that. Is you got to have
okay? My bad. Go ahead.
You got to have some form of punishment. And not just for grown people, but even for children, too. If it ain't no repercussions for things that you do, man, people just don't do it, man.
No, I agree. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's true.
That's
yeah,
how
that spoiled, is true. Can't argue with that one.
Yeah, that's how kids get spoiled, because there are no repercussions. The human animal is an animal. It's a mammal. It does what it wants to do unless it's stopped. And what we want to do as soon as we get out of the womb is to grab other people's stuff, travel around without inhibitions, eat what we want, shit when we want, do what we want, and what we want to do. We don't know that what we want to do crosses the line and hurts other people until we're absolutely taught it. Even if we suffer consequences by pain, if we're not taught that it's part of morality to stop doing stuff which hurts other people, people don't get it. This is how psychopaths get grown.
I mean, that's why I try to take it to the grown-up. That's why I try to take it to the grown-up first, though, because, you know, it's the same thing with the grown-ups as it is with the children, man.
Mm-hmm.
You go to prison, your punishment going to be to sit in here and kick back and relax and, you know, we're going to provide everything for you. We're going to provide your health care. We're going to provide you. If you need eyeglasses, we're going to give you eyeglasses. We're going to give you dinner work. You're going to be up on the AC when it's hot, and you're going to be cold when it's cold. You know, for a person with a criminal mind, that don't sound too bad to them.
Well, yeah, I mean, if their life in the streets is that horrible, yeah.
Wow.
I don't think most people, you know, going to prison and sleeping on a cot where there's no clean sheets and you've got no toilet seat and you got roommates who want to fuck you right in the ass, that doesn't sound too kosher to most people.
Not to most people.
Yeah, but to some, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, all right.
And the same thing with kids.
Getting into the
same thing with kids.
All right. Yeah. Opposite. Let's say to the kids.
Same thing with kids. Okay, if the only thing that you're going to do is say stop and put them in timeout. And, now, for some kids, that may work. But some of these kids, they even, you know, when you take the cars and things away, they just coming up some different ways to annoy your ass, man.
Well, you know, before you came on and pulled your gun, that's one of the things I said. You have to realize, though, that kids are going to be kids. Now, and that's part of being a kid sometimes. They just annoying as heck. But the question becomes, you know, what do you do when they hit that point where you done had that bad day, you know, and you just irritated and stressed out, and they still just being regular kids, but for some reason this is really getting to you, and you ready to go and handle your business normally like you think you're handling, but actually you're about to unleash some force on this child that you're not even aware of because you're pissed off.
Then you gotta have self-restraint.
Yeah, that's what has an ability. You got to control yourself, and you gotta take you a time out before you address that situation.
See, that's the point right there. Yeah.
Well, before kids do that. The kids start doing that around maybe 9, 10, 11. But I always say, and yeah, I'm not a parent, if you've got the kid from the time they are born, first off, kids, they love to imitate parents. So if parents can play with their kids, bond with their kids when they're young, kids are going to follow their parents' lead. They will do what they are told to do. So up until the time they're 9, 10, 11, when they start becoming little independent, autonomous human beings, parents have these children from the age of 1 second to the age of 8 years of age. If they can't mold their kids by then, the problem and the fault lies with the parents. Because, again, these kids, they follow the lead of their peer group, and they follow the lead of their teachers, they follow television, and the parents should be stronger than that.
Okay, Joe. And you know what? I'm glad you brought that. I brought this up earlier before you came on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I was going to say. What about that parent? And as you say, children imitate their parents, right? But what about that adult that is imitating the treatment they received when they were a kid? So now you have a cycle. And how do we get beyond that? How do we break that cycle? You understand what I'm saying? How do we stop that abuse right there?
Now that's a hard one.
Because when they were a kid, they got beat for it, you know, got knocked around for every little thing they did. So now, as they become an adult, they have children, that's what they start doing to their children. Now, as I said before, and I told y'all before, I'll say this throughout the show, I am a proponent for corporal punishment. However, I do not advocate beating your child every 10 minutes or every 5 seconds for something. I don't know. I'm not talking about that type of corporal punishment. Okay? But in this instance, I mean, I think that borders right there on that abuse line.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying, Joe? So how do we go about breaking that cycle right there? Because I think that's the line of parents today are straddling a little bit. You know, so how do we fix that?
Well, that's a tough one. I don't have any ready-made answers for that. If a person's been abused as a child, then they're going to think of that as normal, which is different than when people like to bring up the situations when a child grows up with a family that doesn't love him or her and beats them, and now this child starts looking for... Let's say it's a girl, and she starts looking for a guy to replay the situations in her head that she encountered when she was a kid. I don't quite go along with the psychological philosophies of that, you know, that just because you want somebody to beat you to show you love. But I do believe that if you're beat as a kid and you're a parent, you will absolutely pass that down to your kid because you don't know anything different. Your temper is very, very thin, and you can very easily abuse your child. So I don't have any ready-made answers for that outside of counseling.
What about you, Vernon?
Hold on here, it's a little loud on my ear right now.
Yeah, I hear the I hear the truck now.
yeah, hold on.
Okay. All right. My grand say you crazy, Joe. Okay.
Why am I crazy about that?
I don't know. The great thing about life is choice. That's what my grand is saying. My grand is saying. But okay, I'm going to play this other clip here by Dr. Sherry Webb. And she's giving her definition on what she's giving her example of discipline and what's the difference discipline and punishment.
Okay.
So it's about 2 minutes long. Okay, so hold on.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sherry Webb, Director of Psychological Services with HowToConnect.com. Welcome to 2 minutes of parenting encouragement and advice. The word discipline means to teach. Parents who discipline children, in the truest sense of the word, establish clear rules and appropriate consequences in the home that have the long-term goal of teaching boys and girls self-control. Self-control enables children to live and function in groups, such as their family, their classroom at school, and in society. Disciplinary techniques that teach children how to act give children opportunities to correct their behavior while feeling good about themselves. Discipline can be explained to children because it makes sense. The purpose of punishment is to make children pay for their misdeeds. Punishment is based on the idea that children must be made to feel worse before they behave better. Punishment can cause children to feel confused, angry, resentful, and rebellious. Punishment can seem like it's effective in the short term because children, like adults, seek to minimize pain. However, punishment neither instructs children in how to live nor gives them lifelong skills to manage their behavior. Parents are leaders of children. The Parenting Toolkit on this site presents effective disciplinary techniques that help parents lead and teach. Use the toolkit as an alternative to punishment and as a guide to encourage appropriate behavior for your children now and in the future.
All right, that's Dr. Sherry Webb and her little depiction of discipline and punishment. What y'all think about that? Did she have any good points in there? Joe, Vernon, anybody? Well, hold on. Let me bring him. I'm just wondering where y'all was. But let me bring up.
Like I told you, I got a lot of noise, so I got to mute it myself.
Oh, okay. Oh, you were doing one of my numbers talking and didn't realize you had muted yourself?
No, I knew I had done it. I muted myself on set.
Oh, okay. All right. Supreme, welcome to the show, bro. It's been a long time. Where you at?
Peace to you, brother. Peace to you. Peace to everyone on the line.
All right.
What's going on,
Vernon?
I was just going to say,
I mean, a beating, I mean, this is a society that we live in today. Mm-hmm. It's the offspring of a society of non-beating. So this is what happens. What we're living in today, this is what happens when you don't get any beating. There's a loud noise coming in my background. I don't know what that is.
Let's see. I'll fix it. Find it out for you. Go ahead.
This society that we're living in today is a result of parents not being able to discipline their children correctly. Because you can't just talk to a child. You have to show them pain. Some kids only respect beatings. Did you know? There's some children who only respect that. There's some kids that only respect beatings. I'm telling you.
Mm.
I've come across it a lot. I've got family... young children in family that, you know, they only respect beatings.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, me personally, you couldn't just talk to me when I was a youth. Yeah, I had to get a beating. I'm not even deny that. All that talking crap, I would have ran right around my parents if I never knew that if I crossed the line, if they told me something more than once or twice and gave me a look where I know next step could be beating, I would have been out of control.
All right, but... And here's the thing, your parents didn't just beat you, you know, they gave you choices, but they gave you choices before you got to, it got to that point, correct?
There was always a warning.
Right.
There was always a warning. But if I did something that was really out of line, it's like, for example, if I had a son and he went to school and he fought up a girl and he got kicked out of school for it, I would whoop his ass straight away. Whoop his ass straight away, because he's got to know if he does that in normal society, it would be even worse for him. Do you understand?
Right.
Or if he stole from the shop and I found out, I'd whoop him straight away. I wouldn't even talk to him. I'd whoop him straight away because I'm trying to make it. Me talking to him ain't going to do nothing. Because like I say, when he gets older and he does that, he's going to go to jail, he's going to do time, and then he might meet guys who will make him feel pain inside. So this is your warning before it gets to that. As long as you're under my roof, you ain't doing that. Because you know daddy will whoop my ass. You understand? And even if it was my bird, even if my daughter did something like that, and the mother, if I, for example, I was with a woman who didn't want to whoop, I would whoop her as well if she went to a shop and stole. I don't mess around. Girl,
wait,
you're going to get a whooping.
You say you will whoop your woman too?
No, not my wife. I said my daughter.
If it was my
daughter, I'd whoop her as well. I'm just saying. Me personally, because some people say, well, the man shouldn't whoop the girl and that. And I'm just saying that if you've got a woman who doesn't like whooping, then you're going to have to take matters into your own hands as a man. And me personally, I ain't got no problem with it. You know, if my woman wanted to do all the whooping, I would accept that. But at some point, I know that, especially if you have a boy, them whoopings ain't going to be nothing to him. So he might need his dad's hand on him to make him know.
Right. I understand that. I really do. Let me ask this. You have kids, right, Supreme?
I have a daughter.
You have a daughter. Okay. So you basically use what happened to you as a kid now as part of when you're punishing your daughter, correct?
Well, it's not because of what happened to me. I can see the math and science of it. Nothing else don't work. We're living in a society today where you know, the society that we live in today is because these youth ain't getting enough whoopings, manly whoopings. And then you've got a lot of our, especially black males, who act like women. You understand? Because they're not used, when things don't go their way, they act feminine and want to kill another brother. You know, there's certain clubs in the UK, in certain places, you go certain places in the UK and you step on a man's trainer or you look at a man wrong, which that those actions are only grown if you've been around a woman a lot. Those you're going to get develop those sort of stupid tendencies, because no man, real man's going to say to you, bro, just because a man's looking at you, you want to go and fight with him. That's crazy. You're going to get yourself killed like that. A man would know that you can't act like that. You're going to warn your son. You understand? But a woman,
right.
You know, when you talk with a woman, you got that. You're going to act like that. Which I say is feminine, because, you know, women, they will say, well, what's that man looking at and stuff like that. I remember when I was young, I don't really hear grown men. I never used to hear grown men saying, what's he looking at? I don't like the way he cut his eye at me and stuff like that. I don't hear men going off things like that. You see what I'm trying to say? But the generation that I grew up, I didn't see grown men going off about that, but the generation and my friends, we used to go off about that. Oh, I see you cut your eye at me, so now I want to just have a reason why, so that I can, you know, me and you can beef, because I didn't like the way you looked at me one time. You know, and I said, this is a feminine action. I said, there's more whippings need to be done. A lot of these kids, these youth who are selling drugs on the street and killing each other in Chicago, they need a manly whooping. The woman hand ain't going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That's why the girls are all right. Mm-hmm. That's why the girls were right, because they're usually growing up with the women anyway. The women get left with the child. I think that a boy should, from when he's about five, if the man and the woman ain't together, I think that the boy should go with the man. From about five, the boy should go with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
That should be legal. That should be legal rather than all the kids going with the woman. I think that should be legally binding, that if a man have a child with a woman, and a child hits, if you're not with the woman and the child hits about five, boy, he should go with his dad. And he'll raise up some of these Negroes out here as well. Mentally. You see what I'm saying? when we're breeding, we'll watch who we breed. Men will watch who they breed with. They will watch what they're doing. Because they'll have some, they know that there's a responsibility on them if they have a boy child.
Very interesting. All right. That's cool. that is very interesting, Poverty. Let me ask this question, though, and I hope everybody is the joy through eating and running doing what they need to do, because I have a question I want to ask. What happens when your mate or spouse thinks your style of discipline is abuse? How is that handled?
If what?
If your spouse or your wife or your husband, thinks that your style of discipline is abuse. Yeah, it's abuse. How do you handle that within your household?
That's a rough one.
Well, thank you. I'm doing good today then.
Well, me personally, this is the thing. You got to define them things there. She's got to define them things there. And even then, for me, you should only whoop your child if they do wrong. You understand? If it's something whereby, say for example now, all right, you consecutively whooping them for say they wouldn't clean out the bath or they won't clean their room. You understand? And you've told them, you've been telling them for months, you let them get away with it for months, but they still won't clean their room. And now every time you see their room untidy, you whoop them. I'm saying if you whoop them for a reason, you have to have a reason for why you're whooping. When you're whooping for no reason, then that's abuse. But when you're whooping for a reason, for disobedience, then that's all right. That there ain't no abuse in that. And if you've got a woman like that, you need to leave her, because that's a fool. She's getting caught up in the devil's world. Because that's why the devil. Why do you think the devil's stopped the beating? So our children get out of control, and we're easy to control.
Okay.
Oh, whoop your child. So. You're just going to give your child whatever they want so they can stop the complaining and the moaning. You can't walk.
Because you can't whoop them.
If you're not going to
walk. Like I said before, if that's the conflict that is within the household, right, where one spouse says your style of discipline is abusive and the other one doesn't want a discipline anyway, and that's your answer to the question is just to leave them and let them go?
Leave them and let them go. Well, it depends. I mean, like I said, it depends. Like I said, I can't really. I'll just tell the woman, look, if you don't like how I do things, then I'm off. Then you can take the child and go. As a man, I just say, listen, if you don't like how I'm going about things, then take the child, innit? Go. All I know is that when I get tired to see the child, that child can't act like that around me. You understand? If it's really that much of a problem. Now, the only way I'm going to leave the woman is she wants to go and tell the police. You understand? And even then, I'm the type of man that will say, well, you can go and tell the police, because ain't no police going to tell me how to discipline my children. So if she puts an order against me and that, then that's cool. Then you might as well, get some restraining order where I never get to see my child. Because if my child behaves like that in my vicinity, he's getting whooped. Okay? Ain't no one going to be telling me that. I'd rather the devil come and take my child and the woman leave me and go and do her own thing, man. Under that, under them, if a woman's going to be in my head telling me that's abuse. You understand?
I understand what you're saying.
I'm going to put a little twist on it, too. Because most of the time, people don't really discuss matters like that before they get married. Now, suppose you're about to get married and you actually put out your boundaries and you put out what annoys you, like we've talked about in the show before, Eric.
Right.
And she says, oh, I agree with you. I happen to believe in corporal punishment. Now you have a kid. The kid is 5, 6, or 7. You start to apply corporal punishment, and now she starts to change her mind. That's a mind bender. Now, that's a good question, too. What are you going to do if she agrees, and this is one of the reasons why you married her, but now she says, well, I can change my mind. I've had second thoughts about this. Now what are you going to do? Okay? Now, you sit down, you try to talk it over with her, but if she doesn't acquiesce, then you've got a real problem. And eventually, you are going to have to leave and, you know, break up the household as a result, because disciplining the kid is a very important part of being a father and a mother.
You know, I don't hear anybody saying anything about you trying to compromise or coming to a solution or you know, a middle ground anywhere in there.
That's what I was going to say, Eric. But I was trying to keep that noise level down. But I would compromise with the lady. I would compromise with her, and you know, I would say, well, you know, let's, you know, see what techniques you got or what kind of methods you got of, you know, resolving this. But if your methods don't work, then we're going back to my methods.
But here's another twist. Here's another twist to that, Vernon. So you can communicate with that, but then you know how women are. She'll just say, well, all right, yeah, well, I can try my way, but if my way doesn't work, doesn't mean your way is better.
No, but it don't mean it's bad.
You see what it is now, right? The only way that can work, right? And me, I will use whatever method. I will try and use every method outside of hitting, you know, my child. You understand? Like, if they like a certain toy or there's a certain activity that they want, like, for example, we could have planned to go to the park. But because they've disobeyed me in the day, we won't go to the park. Hey, someone's in their background, man.
I was saying
that if my child's disobedient in a day, then she ain't going that. We're not going to the park. You understand? You ain't going on that. You're not going to your friend's house on the weekend or the party. So I'll take something away from her. But now, that only works if the child respects materialism. If they respect that sort of thing, they respect the fact that they like going out, or they like going to the park. Everyone's got nays in their background, man.
You got an echo.
Hey, Mr. Talk, to clear that up, man.
So, I'm going to clear it up. What am I doing? I'm just sitting here. How am I going to clear up something that you got going on?
I hear a lot of nays in the background, innit? All right, like I said, it can only work if your child, that, say for example, you get a child that don't like toys. Now, my daughter don't like toys, you understand? But she likes to watch certain kid programs, you know, that she likes watching. So I could just take that away from her and then everything's cool, you know, because she values that, she likes that. You know, certain educational programs she likes doing, you understand?
Right.
She likes having little, you know, spell, you know, likes when I'm, you know, she likes certain activities that she likes, you know, like me playing with her, you know, lifting her up or whatever, you know, me playing with her and spending time with her. She respects that. So I say, no, you sit down and you do some writing or some math. You understand? You know, so it depends, innit? It depends. Or I say, well, I'm not going to buy you that toy because, you know, because she might have asked me for a toy. And I say, well, I'll get you that. But you just got to, if you can go a week just doing nothing but good, yeah, then you'll definitely get that toy. So we'll see. So she knows not to mess with me until that time. Because I said, I'm going to give you it next Saturday. So she knows not to do anything disobedient until then. You understand? Or do anything outside of...
Listen to what you just said. You say, well, she knows not to do anything disobedient until then. And like, okay, yeah. I got what I want. Now I can go back to acting my regular way.
Yeah, well, she's smart like that, isn't it? She always pushes the boundaries. But she's a child, isn't it? So obviously, right. when she gets older, she'll be used to living in society and having to just do things, you know, by the book. You understand?
How I see it.
Can do it when she wants to, you know, when I promise her something, you understand? So I can, but then again, like I said, you know, you don't want to have to always be bribing your children all the time, you understand? But like I said, if they respect that, but some children don't respect nothing. Like I said,
right.
Some children that only respect, you could take away their computer or say to them, you got to recite the dictionary, you know,
mm-hmm.
and say, you got to recite the dictionary and stuff like that. You know, there's some children that, you know, don't care about nothing. That, you know, mm-hmm. you could give them, you say, yeah, you got to recite the dictionary. If I told my daughter to recite the dictionary, she's going to try and do it. You understand? Because she respects me, you see what I'm saying? But I'm thinking,
yeah.
Some,
well, look, let me ask this question then.
You got to recite
that. Let me ask this question. Let me ask you this question. I think Joe and Vernon let me know already, so I'm going to ask you. When does discipline become abuse then?
When you're hitting them for no reason.
When you're hitting them for no reason, what would be considered no reason? I mean, expound on that a little bit.
Because you're in a bad mood, you're taking out your own personal, problems out on your children. That's abuse. When you're just hitting them and they ain't done nothing wrong, or they've done the smallest little thing that really
mm-hmm.
ain't beating the fence or smacking the fence. You see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'd add to that too. Even if the discipline, the corporal punishment, is warranted, if you're hitting the kid too hard, if you're punishing the kid way beyond the supposed crime, that's abuse too. For example,
oh yes, yes,
yeah,
yes, yes.
Okay.
A clenched fist, yeah, a clenched
yeah.
fist, or something like that. Yeah, obviously, only open hand. That's what I'm saying. Only open hand should be only. So it should be, you know, only open hand.
Well, if you're taking the strap to the kid's ass 25 times, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah. No weapons. Yeah, no
yeah.
weapons.
No,
no
weapons.
Weapons.
Okay.
No weapons.
Let's see. Knowledge in the chat room says children get a lot of corporal punishment will over time become immune to it. Yeah, that, I can see that. Yeah,
nah.
They do. He also
yeah,
says disciplining children is an art. It has to be done judiciously. I can agree with that also. I can see that.
It's not an easy thing. That's why I keep saying, if you have the kid, if you can mold your kid from the time they're infants, that's the time to do it, so that they look up to you, they follow your lead, they want to imitate you, you can play with your children, bond with your kids, make them do what you want to do by having them imitate you, make like, for example, washing dishes seem like fun, you know? Or cleaning the floor seem like fun because you make it a plaything. You know, but then again, you know, 10, 11, 12, they're going to want to start to, you know, spread their wings. But by that time, they should really have respected you so that they don't try to become real thugs at that time.
Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying also, Joe. And that what you said does make a lot of sense. However, you know, once they start hitting them preteen and them teen years,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I think that's when more of the beat my chest or testing you comes
in. Oh, yeah,
in.
Of course. Yeah, the testosterone yeah. steps in and the estrogen pumps itself in there. Sure, they want to test the mommy and daddy. They want to be cool. They want to be like the in crowd. They want to try to be like the kids on the block or the kids in school, or they want to be like the kids on TV. Or they just want to,
right.
you know, think they're adults and they're getting taller now. Yeah, a whole lot of kind of good shit comes in there. But they got to respect the parents because the parents have to have shown them when they were young.
That's why you have to do it when they're little, because
yep.
some of these kids can outgrow their parents these days. So, you know, you
yes,
gotta sure. make them know from. You gotta make them know from Jump Street, not to even go there. You understand?
So
that's why you don't want
okay.
it to be abuse. Yeah, go on.
Okay, so basically, if you start disciplining the correct way when they're young, when you get older,
the younger,
they,
better.
Yeah,
the younger,
as they
the
get
better.
Older, then it's not that bad. But how do we, as parents or as adults, make sure we're not crossing that line, even as, you know, they're smaller? You understand
what
I'm asking?
Yeah, but you know, from when they're not, they ain't got no bruises on their body, yeah, they ain't got no marks and stuff like that, then you know. You ain't overstepping the mark. They're not, you know, in the spot that you smack them. They're not, when you touch them, they're not like, ooh. You know. Like they ain't no sore there.
Is it all about the physical thing? What about the parents yell a lot?
That can be overdone too.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes, I mean, that's that Like I say, yeah, if whatever works, yeah, on you disciplining your child, the better.
I think if you're damaging your kid's self-esteem, and if you're really doing it too often or over the top, I mean, I think objectively, you know, when a kid steps out of line, you don't take out the kitchen sink and throw it at the kid. You don't yell at the kid for a half an hour. You don't call the kid names simply because they did something wrong the first few times. But again, before all this stuff happens, parents have the opportunity to bond with their kids when they're little.
Yeah, but just because your child likes you doesn't mean that when they grow older, they're going to follow you. They got to have that respect in it. That friendship business don't work with you.
I'm not talking about being friends.
Okay.
I'm talking about being the leader.
Wait, hold on. Isn't those two things right there can be confused one with the other?
You're trying to be on the same level as your kid. You're not on the same level as your kid. You're above your kid. You're the leader. You're the mentor. You're the one who has the right to tell them what to do. You can ask them what to do, be polite, and teach them responsibility. But when they get out of line, you tell them what to do. It's hard to tell them what to do if you're trying to make them feel like, I'm your girlfriend. Yeah, I'm 20 years older than you, but I'm just like your girlfriend in high school. Fuck that. I'm your father. I'm your mother. You do what the fuck I say.
I think that most, especially your boy, you have to teach him in this society, especially in this society, you have to teach him some sort of self-defense from a young age. Make him know how, you know, when a man knows that he can defend himself, he's less likely to,
give a kid karate lessons if he's having trouble with kids in the neighborhood. They all laughed at me.
I'm going to laugh again. I'm like, okay, so your teacher got to go out there and kick somebody behind. So
if
he go home and
kick kicked by the...
Most brothers, most people that I know, like I said, you know, the boxing gym that I go to, right, there's a lot of white kids in there, white boys and white people in there, 90% white. And 10% black. You don't see none of them. If you saw them on the street, you wouldn't know that they fight. You know, and they're not up. Yeah, and you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't. Like I said, they're not up and down in the drugs. None of them sell drugs or into anything that I could say that is, you know, that I can see externally, outwardly wicked or fuckeries. You know.
Right. Hold on. Let me bring Lo in.
I don't think he's doing none of that. So when I didn't know how to fight, I was more quicker to fight then.
I bet.
So when you do martial arts, you had to put up that front. That's why you was quicker to fight. Exactly. And what I'm saying is that when you do martial arts or anything, you know, boxing or karate, whatever, it's humbling because you always find people that know more than you that can beat you up in that gym. So you're more humble when you're outside because you know for a fact there's people out there who would whoop you.
Well, that's the life, on the street itself. Well, yeah, hold on. Let me bring Lo in. Lo, where you at, man?
Humble.
Wait one, bloke. Let me come in for one moment, bloke. Tommy, what's up, bro? What's up? What's going on, gentlemen? What's going down, man? Hey, don't stop the music right now. Let's dance.
I know Eric's down for whooping of the children. That's one thing I know about Eric. I know Eric's down.
Hey.
Whoop, God, boy.
Yes, like I said before, I'm a proponent of corporal punishment. I've said it, and I'll stand up for it. Yes, I will, but as long as it's done correctly.
Poverty has said it before also, so don't feel bad, man. He said he'll whoop an ass also, so I don't see nothing wrong with whooping an ass. Yeah, every now and then that ass needs to get a whooping. Because you're going to do something.
Exactly.
Wow.
I'm not an advocate for just punching or this or that or whatever, you know. Unless you're whooping a 15-year-old boy and all of a sudden he grabs the belt and won't let it go and then he swell up and he saw up at you, you know. know, all of a sudden you got a lot of air in his chest, then, you know, it is what it is. Then you can hold the belt. But I got hands for you now, you know. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'll keep that belt.
And I think, you know what, and I agree with 255,000%, and I think that's where most people come up with, you become abusive then, when you start talking like that. But in the real world, if you realize this child is hovering over you, like you say, he didn't grab the belt and took the belt from you, now either you're going to put up or you're going to punk out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I'm not a punk. I'm show him that I am who I said I am and who I was, have been the whole his whole life. You know, the man in charge.
But when you walk that young, hold on. When you walk that young, when you get the whoopings in from young, when they hit, I feel that if I had a son, I would only have to whoop him till he's about 7, I reckon. Past that, I wouldn't have to whoop him. If I told him not to do something, he wouldn't do it. You understand? And
Supreme, what you have to understand, and I think what a lot of people fail to understand, especially when it comes to young men, once they get that certain age, you know, I don't care how much discipline you've done with them from down, it comes to that point to where, you know, they're going to try because it's the natural thing to do. You know what I mean? It's the natural thing to do. So if they can find that little niche they think they can stand up on, they gonna try you. Now it's up to you.
Let me tell you something, man.
I'm sorry, I'm not using no belt. You know,
let me tell you something.
I'm just gonna be honest with you, and I don't mean that's abuse because I know I'm gonna put them down and I'm with it.
I didn't mean to keep cutting in, man, but if anybody know my daddy, man, Vernon know my daddy. My daddy, you know, old country boy, never lift weights, big old strong, big old arms, big old chest and all that shit. He's shorter than me. But only one time I tried my pops, man, and, you know, we ain't never had it no more. No, we didn't.
And, but why did you try him? Why did you try him?
I was 18, and I was full of goddamn gumption. That's why I tried.
Thank you.
I was before Logue was relating that story. I was going to tell him a story, and I just got out of the service. I was about 23, something like that. And my father invited me to live with him. I didn't want to, but he invited me to live with him. After a few months, he got on my fucking nerves. He was telling me to do something, which he himself was doing. I was about to punch this fucking guy. But what happened was my body reacted because I knew if I punched him, I would hurt him. So I almost went dizzy, which prevented me from hitting him. And so the situation calmed itself down. Sometimes the parents can be a fucking pain in the ass, not the kids.
You know what, Joe? You know what that was? That was the Lord saving you from allowing you to be here a little bit longer. Because I'm sure your pop would have taken you out.
No, he wouldn't.
You don't think so? I don't know, Joe.
He was a bad dude, but no, not at his age. No.
Okay.
So you were raised by some old ass people, Joe? I mean,
you were around here yesterday. Yeah, my mother and father looked at me. Whatever I was doing, right or wrong, it stopped. They got me early, you know. It wasn't anything.
Right.
Like, hey, it was something. Hey, sometimes it was a mouth, you know, when I was younger. But I mean, like in my 2, 3, 4, 5. But when I was 6, 7, I got the message, you know, because they whipped me enough. They looked at me. I stopped whatever I was doing. I didn't think I was doing anything wrong, but I wasn't about to get into a dispute over it. I just stopped.
Well, I can tell you from personal experience, if I ever am in an accident and I need some skin graft, all I need to do is go there and get some of it off my mama's hand because I got the shit slapped out of me plenty of times. You know what? A lot of the time I was just being a young fuckhead. Really, really. A lot of the time I was just being a young fuckhead, man, you know. And sometimes it takes that.
But
sometimes
you know
need to be snapped back into reality.
Right. You know, and that's something that, you know, that's something I said in the beginning of the show. In some, you know, in a lot of instances, kids are going to be kids, you know, and you have to discipline them accordingly. Now, and like, you know, I think Supreme and Vernon and Joe have said, you know, but it comes to that point to where you as the parent, you have to realize that, you know, there's a point to where you're no longer disciplining your child. You're really abusing them, and you need to back the heck up and take a look at what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a hard day at work. Like I said, you come home, the lights off. You know, now you got to worry about getting the lights back on. And, you know, you got your kids. You know, your kids running around because the lights off. Now, it's fun time. You got candles on. They ain't never, you know what I mean? And, you know, they still making noise, and you all stressed out. And the first thing you want to do is take it out on somebody. So they knock something down in the dark. Now what happens? You ready to go. But now what you're about to do is take your stress that you're under right now and transfer it into all what you're about to put on that little child. And that's when I do believe it becomes abuse. See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Oh, I'm sorry. I think I talked too much. Y'all go ahead.
I agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
My parents, they got me early, like I said. It was, of course, when I acted out when I was very, very young, you know, first year,
mm-hmm.
second year, third year, they were instant punishment. That
right.
was them. So as I got older, I knew
mm-hmm.
nothing. I never talked back. I wasn't disobedient. I was good in school, good in the neighborhood, good in, good with my relatives, good with them.
Right.
But I never had to be disciplined for anything that
mm-hmm.
I really did. Because I wasn't rebellious until junior, senior year. Up until then, I was, you know, mm-hmm. good enough kid. I liked being responsible.
Mm-hmm.
I liked school, you know, like I liked my life. But they were pains in the fucking ass.
Okay. Wow. Mm-mm-mm.
They shouldn't have been parents. You know, they didn't. I don't even think they really wanted any kids.
Does that play a role in it? Whether
you know,
once the kids are here, whether you don't want them or not, does that play a role
yeah.
in how you discipline them or how you treat them?
Absolutely.
Low,
they can even want you. They can even want you, but you know, not in my particular case. But they can even want a kid. But if they're lousy at parenting, they can have a lack of tolerance towards the kids that they even love. And then they can still turn into abuse. You know, a lot of people shouldn't be parents. Just because you can have a kid doesn't mean you should have a kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. Wow. Hold on, let me let Knowledge in. All right, Mr. Knowledge, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Mr. Talk and gentlemen?
How are you? What's going on, man?
Doing good.
That's
I think
good.
It's... As a parent, it's important to understand the temperament and the level of maturity of the child or children that you have.
Mm-hmm.
My mother wasn't a very patient person. So, and being that I didn't have a father to discipline me, my mom, she got her bluff in when I was real young. So by the time I was about 7 or 8 years old, she didn't have no problems out of me. Because no matter what people would say on the streets, you know, I grew up in that age where when the street lights came on, you had to be in the house.
Yeah.
And there were plenty of times where my friends would make fun of the fact that, because as soon as I seen him come on, it was just instinct. I was
mm-hmm.
walking towards the house, you know, and they would make fun of me. However, the thing for me was I was much more afraid of my mother than any of my friends. So I knew that if I succumbed to the peer pressure, I was going to have hell to pay once I got in the house.
That's
and
right.
to me, once I weighed it, I was like, this is not a good trade-off just to be cool on the streets. Now, with my son, by the time my son was, the last time I whooped my son, he was 4 years old. Now, I consider myself to be a very fortunate parent because I never had a lot of problems out of my son. Never got calls from the school. He grew up in the same neighborhood that I grew up in. He went to the same high school I went to. And it was just one of those things where he just... just wasn't the kind of kid who felt like, you know, he got to a certain age where he had to see how far he could go. Now, all kids aren't like that. That's why I consider myself fortunate. But it's important that you understand your child. And plus, in those most formidable years, which is roughly between 0 and 5, that's when you got to do all the work. Because when they get older, it's about respect at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're willing to step to you, then that respect factor is kind of iffy. Because if they respect you, that's not something that they're going to do. And then on top of that, as far as the discipline is concerned, you know, you have to understand how children are. You can't discipline them because they're being immature or being a child. Those are teaching moments at that point.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's how I feel. So when I can see that my kid is being immature, that's an opportunity for me to sitting down and talk to him and explain how things should go either one way or the other.
What does the family feel about the there was a whooping last year when the father came back and you must have saw the two daughters watching I think they were on Facebook showing their
bodies. I know what you're talking
about.
They were watching some female twerking.
I think that was a righteous whooping. That was a righteous whooping. It's just a shame that I got caught on camera, personally.
That's the one with the judge. That's the one with the judge with the strap with the kid.
I don't know.
No, that's a different one. That was a different one.
But Supreme, wasn't those girls like about 14 and 15 years old?
They were the ones on the video twerking. That was such a righteous whooping, I believe. That was a righteous.
But you know, and I agree with you. But there was so much, confusion that you know, drama over that time. He was abusing them because he beat them with the bell. And I'm like, they deserve it. You know, that right there was not abusive to me.
And
you know, because he didn't do anything that I know growing up that wouldn't have happened to my sister. She would have got caught twerking. Hey, actually, it probably been worse. But anyway, that's what the problem is. Society are beginning to label things. You know, I don't know why they're labeling it, but they're labeling things now that was back in the day was normal, and now I guess we've become so intelligent, you know, in advance to where we can say, no, that's not doing it because it causes problems later on in life. Well, I'm here to tell you, I used to get beat, you know, and I got beat with some of everything, and I'm not, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm healthy.
You think?
Huh. You know, whatever.
Eric, you know what I think the problem is, though, Eric? I think we live in a world today, we're in a voyeuristic society. So we get to see everything now, whereas before...
Mm.
You know, you didn't have all these cell phones and cams on the your computer. So now the stuff that used to just be behind closed doors, man, it goes viral. The next thing you know, somebody done caught it on camera. The next thing you know, it's on YouTube. And all of a sudden, the whole world and just saw what you did to your child, which, you know, back in the day, that's just what happened. But didn't nobody see it?
That's true, brother.
Now it's plastered everywhere, just like the video Supreme just talked about.
Yeah.
Back in the day, that has happened so many times. Probably too many to count. However, wasn't no film going. Wasn't nothing
to
put it on YouTube.
I reckon a lot of my weapons would have made it viral. I reckon a lot of my weapons would have made it viral.
Look, you're right. Wasn't no film going, but your friend was outside the windows listening. So they knew.
Oh, yeah. But that's okay.
Sitting there watching you get your ass. I agree with knowledge on that, Eric, and I'm gonna add something else to that. And nowadays you got a lot of people coming up. You know, they getting in trouble and shit, doing crime and stuff, and then they crying. Well, I was abused when I was a kid.
Yeah, crying wolf.
That's the reason I done it. And they may not have had five ass whooping the whole time they were growing up.
That's
right. And everything he said for an abuse. Now they're looking at any kind of ass whooping as abuse now.
You know what it is, brother? It's when the parents grow older and they apologize. Parents shouldn't apologize.
Man, what are you talking about?
I'm saying the reason why the children grow up like that, yeah, is because the parents have went and apologized and said, oh, I'm sorry for all the whoopings and
Well, check this out. Now, hey, I'm glad you called from across the pond, but I'm going to throw something at you. I guarantee you, my mama and Vernon mama never apologized for slapping a ass whooping a nut. And daddy ain't... So I don't know what's going on over there. But over here, it don't go down like that, bro.
I'm saying to you.
Even when they found out it really wasn't you that did it, they didn't apologize.
The only time a child says that it was abused, what their parents used to abuse them, is when I'm saying that parent somewhat time told the child that I apologize for the way I whooped you. That's
really?
Where it is. And I'm just saying that's probably what happened.
Oh, I'm going to tell you from my perspective.
Apologize
I'm
for the whooping. How am I going to apologize?
From my perspective. Go ahead. I'm sorry, bro.
If I say sorry to my son or my daughter for whooping them, then they're going to see it as abuse. I've done something wrong if I'm apologizing, isn't it? I think that's what happens when you go and apologize for whooping your child. Some parents, their child, they go and apologize to them often.
But have you noticed how the general consensus about this has changed rapidly over the past few years, and has been changing since around the 70s, I think probably coinciding with feminism? Remember, around the 1800s, 1850s, 1860s, 90s, what was the general theme? It was spare the rod and spoil the child. They had no fucking problem about whipping the kid and telling the kid, you go out there to the tree, pull a branch, bring it back to me.
Right.
I'm going to... And the switch
society,
that you pick, that's the one you're getting smacked with.
A society is easy to control when the children are out of control. You see, when the elders can't tell the children anything, right, the society is easier to control and manipulate. Like now, it's so easy to manipulate and control because our youth are out of control. They shouldn't really... Go on.
I'm gonna say, hold on, let me bring Ebony in. Get a woman's
Hi,
point
guys.
Of view. Ebony!
Ebony, you're up early, huh?
Up early?
Well, you usually come later and then you know. Have to go back to sleep.
No.
You don't know anything about my pattern. Shut up, Joe, you're talking crap.
For God's sake. Why do we let women
God's
on the
sake,
show?
What? For God's sake, what? You don't know anything. You just don't get your eyes.
Joe just being a hater, that's all.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd like to be
Excuse
there when I
Excuse the
home,
hell out of me.
Well, you know what?
I
think sometimes, Joe, your example of a child who didn't get enough with him.
He is dead, but
Jesus Christ, what the hell did you eat and drink before you get out of here?
Clearly. But we can move past that. I wanted to make a point. I mean, something that happened to me today was I went to visit a family member who is in one of our mental health institutions. I'll tell you an interesting conversation, and hearing you guys kind of reminded me of the conversation. A group of some of the people who were there were talking about their experiences in childhood. And interesting that a lot of them felt that maybe they didn't label some of the behaviors of their parents as abuse. They saw it as normal within the context. But listening to their stories, a lot of them had been severely damaged by some of those experiences, and the damage isn't in their ability to be disciplined because they're not disrespectful people, the damage in their ability to communicate when they're in pain, or to communicate things that hurt deeply. And a lot of the things that are mental health is about suppressing stuff. And I think one of the downsides of some of that aggression that our parents leashed out was that when you can't cry out or you can't scream, you hold everything in. And whether you like it or not, there's some people that have been severely damaged by some of those experiences. And are still, you know, these are people now in their 40s and their 50s who still get over shit that happened in their childhood. So I'm just saying, I hear all
you
guys.
No, I
haven't finished. So I hear you guys, lauding about what you think is great about it. And I think there are some, I got my own, I have no question about it, that maybe in a lot of instances it did me good. But hearing some of the stories made me think that there are some people out there who've been severely messed up by some of the discipline they faced in their childhood. Let's not forget that.
And let me tell you something, most of them people in the mental homes in the UK is because down to drugs. Yeah, and they ain't got what they wanted out of life. They ain't a success or something like that. That's why they go crazy. But what I'm saying is that
Supreme, that's trivializing.
They ain't trivializing.
I'm saying, don't assume that everybody is a drug victim, and don't.
Are you trying to say that?
No, I'm saying the way that you just said was
80%. 80%.
Okay.
Hold on. I live near a mental home.
And 80%, really?
80% of them are in there because of drugs.
No.
80%?
They've got drug rehab in the mental homes.
They have drug rehab, but why do people go to drug Supreme?
I'm not saying it's... Wait, hold up, man. When you were talking, you said, hold on, I'm not finished. He stopped and started back up.
Okay. I'll allow.
There you go.
No, go on. Women first, innit? Go on.
Hey,
man.
I was just saying, Supreme, I'm saying don't lump everybody together because... Yes, there are a lot of people that take drugs and that are in mental institutions because of drugs.
Absolutely.
But what I'm trying to say is that what makes you take a drug, what makes you want to blank out the world?
Yeah, because they didn't because they didn't get out of life what they wanted to get out of it when they started. You understand? What they wanted out of life, they never got what they wanted. I know a lot of people in the mental home, it all triggered because their man left them. I know a girl who's got their masters, everything, but her man messed up her head. She had a man that messed up her head. And then she went crazy. She had a master's in, in mathematics. And she's in
Okay, I understand what y'all saying about the nursing home, but are you trying to say that, their childhood could have something to do that, the discipline they received as children?
You know what it is? It's when they get that psychiatrist goes, examines them in every single way. And
imagine
when
that.
They get reports, right, they have to to make them their job, seem like they're doing a job. They just say, well, it might have been down to this childhood thing and then this. It's down to the drugs, that the devil puts out on the streets. That's all it is. Most of them are drug fiends, drug addicts and all that. They're still buying the drugs. In the mental home, people in the mental home, they get more money for staying in the mental home. The mental home is a great place to be if you want to have unlimited money without don't have to sign on. You get free housing. People who are mentally ill, they get to go to university and they get free laptop, grant, everything paid for to go to university.
I've never heard so much BS in my whole life. I've never heard it. I've never heard so much BS in my whole life. When you go into mental health, I don't know which world you're living in. When you go into mental health, you become controlled by the state, right? That means you are the same as someone who is incarcerated in prison. That same experience you have. You don't have the freedom to go and do whatever you like. right? I don't know the people you know who are into institutions, but this is how it works. If you don't want to take a drug a certain day of the week, right, when they tell you, because they completely control you, the longer you're in the system, this is how it works. If you don't go and take your drugs when they dictate your drugs, they will get you off the street. You go locked up in a secured mental institution, and you have never committed any crime. All you've done is not taking your drugs on a certain day. That's the experience.
You're not under 24-hour lockup.
Oh, really?
You're not in 24-hour lockup.
Why is there an argument? If 80% are there for drugs and 20% aren't, then 80-20.
I have people that are in there that I see every day. Do you know Springfield?
I grew up in there.
So 80% are there for drugs. The other 20% aren't. Maybe what Ebony, who Ebony knows, is part of the 20%. Why is there an argument?
In the UK,
there is an argument. I'm just saying, when someone says, when you make a statement about everybody, the majority of people who are in institutions, right? It's like saying, everybody's in prison is there because they're a killer. It's not a majority of nothing. Where do you get those statistics?
If it's 80-20, so your particular person is part of the 20 who's not there for the drugs, and then that's it.
I know girls personally.
Power. There's an 80-20. Her relative is not in there for the drugs.
I know women who act like they're crazy, so that they can get free housing and free money. So
I don't know what kind of people you know. Let's get off the micro crap. Unless you got people made by someone, let's just stop talking about it.
Crap.
Supreme, he kind of reminds me of some of the people that I know that got a little hood in them. I'm sure he knows some hood people too. They gonna do whatever they got to do to get over.
Oh, see, there you go.
Exactly. Now, I have a question. You know, since we jumped around with all of that, and you know, Evan is saying that some people had something to happen to them in their childhood and all of a sudden, you know, they're in the middle of whatever, whatever. My question is this: if you're gonna go with that, and you have children that had a hardened life, a hardened childhood coming up, and all they know is being around this and being a part of that and everything negative, then why can't we use the same excuses for why they do some of the things that they do? I mean, it's supposed to be all they're supposed to do is, after growing up and being 10, 11, 8 years old, being around selling drugs, people getting, you know, in fights or getting shot or stabbed or whatever, everything negative, only thing we're supposed to say is, oh, well, you didn't have to. You had a decision to make at 18. You could have done this or you could have done that. Now, I mean, what I'm saying is, I'm looking at it from the aspect that you have hardened children that grow up in those environments. And, yeah, maybe they have a mother that's hardly there because she's working, or maybe she on drugs or whatever. And maybe she whooped the hell out of them. And the whippings don't work. Now, this kid growing up, he hard as a brick. You know what I'm saying? At a young age. And when he gets older, or she, that's all they're going to know. And now you're saying that somebody, somebody whooped somebody's ass when they was a kid, and they done lived all their life and got grown, and all of a sudden, now they fucked up in the head to the point where they can't function. They got to go in the mental institution.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
They do that, Lo. And if they go to trial, it's called mitigating circumstances. A good defense attorney is going to take a look at somebody's past and say, well, because of these particular circumstances, the bad father, bad mother, whippings, the affair group, etc., these are the reasons why this particular defendant is acting out the way that he is. Now, whether or not the jury buys it, that's another story.
My point is this. Why aren't we looking at this the exact same way? You have
Sociologists do.
Well, I won't lie. Hey, I don't believe in all that
Ain't no whooping's done any child any harm out here, yeah? Only so, I mean, a majority of these children. The society that we live in today is because of people not managing their children properly and not giving them that ass whipping. Bottom line, that's a society we live in today.
Now, if you look at it, we do have a lot of young people. These young people, like I said before, these are the Ritalin generation people here, you know. I mean, hey, I don't indulge in it, but hey, if you decide that, you know, I'm just going to use marijuana as my recreational drug, that's one thing. But when you get to popping these pills and doing this stuff, you snorting this stuff and out, I mean, you know, you gotta realize that shit is going to run you over the head somewhere sooner or later, and you'll wind up doing something that you never really even imagined.
And that's part of the government's plan to give a kid who's an ordinary kid Ritalin, just because, and they then diagnose them as having ADA when they're just nothing but a rambunctious kid.
Right. Man, I posted it. I know Mr. Talk saw it. The man that was on his, the man that created ADHD on his deathbed said it was made up. He said it was all made up on his deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but even then, the problem ain't the ADHD children, because if they're on a Ritalin, they're going to be subdued and dosed up. It's the children that ain't getting the correct beating or the correct teaching in their house. That's what we need to be dealing with.
Use the proper term. It's discipline. The proper discipline.
Some people,
the politically correct word,
whatever I want to call it.
Yeah. Some people play in the words. I mean, like the chick on the show yesterday. I won't call her name. You know, beating this long. I've never beat my child. Okay, well, like I said, not everybody lived in the Brady Bunch's house. You know, that ain't reality to everybody. You know, and so hey, sometimes you gotta whoop her ass. You know? God rest Bernie Mac though. He told the truth. Every now and then, hey, you may have to punch a kid in the throat.
But punch a kid in the throat.
Hey, man, I tell you, I've never heard of black children standing over their parents with a fucking knife at 2 o'clock in the morning. Parent wake. I've never heard of that. I'm just gonna put it out there.
Then you gotta take the kid down.
Might wake up.
Exactly. As soon as that sleep apnea kick in, that's when he starts halfway breathing, not breathing anymore, wake up on his own, and he wake up and look around, the bastard standing up that night, that's when all hell gonna break loose.
Come on now.
What was the two boys' names? What was those two white boys' names? They lived in a perfect house, perfect community.
That was in Southern California.
You're talking about the Hernandez kid?
If my son brought that sort of a war to me, like he's trying to stand up with his two hands and he wants to have it out with me, you know, something's going to happen. Either he beats me or I'm going to beat him. And he's going to have to get the hell out of my house after. I can't live with a man in my...
That's the thing. Wait a minute, Supreme. That's the one thing you got wrong. Supreme, they say that's one thing you got wrong. Ain't no if he beats
me.
He won't.
That's
going to happen.
I'm just saying that I know that I'll train my son. Yeah, but if I have a son, I'm gonna train him to be better than me. You know, so if he can manage to, that's like the old saying.
Like, you don't teach him everything you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna teach him everything I know, and anything that I learn in my
I give you a true story. This is a true story. Guy I know from a town like 15 minutes away from me. He grew up. His daddy would always abuse his moms or whatever. You know, running around on it, this and that, whatever. So they finally busted up and went their separate ways. And they all lived in the same town. So anyway, the guy got grown, like 23 or whatever, and his daddy was riding down the avenue, and he stopped his daddy in the middle of the street. He said, MF, I'm going to kick your so-and-so for always fucking over my mama.
Now, you know, daddy, you know, he done got to be an older guy now. And, you know, all of that was foolishness that he did younger. Anyway, after all of this talk, snatched the damn truck door open. And when he did that, his daddy pulled out a .22 and shot him in the leg. And the dude hollered, oh, daddy, don't kill me. That's a true story. The dude hollered, oh, daddy, don't kill me. Right then and right there. True story.
Hey,
Supreme, man, ain't no if my ass.
Oh, Lord.
See, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the greatest. You know what I'm saying?
The greatest. You were talking about the Menendez brothers.
But hear what I'm saying now, right? If you're going to teach your children, you teach your children, the greatest gift that I can offer to my children, to my children, is the skill to know how to defend yourself. And, you know what I mean? That's the greatest skill. So, for me, rather than, you know, like, maybe you, it's that if I'm going to teach my child some knowledge, I want them to be greater than me with it. I want them to take it further than what I'm, you know, anything I teach them. So, I'm just saying, if they manage to be able to win over against me, I'm just saying.
Okay, that's fine.
I feel that
a question, guys, when do you stop beating your children?
When you stop?
What age do you stop?
Well, when they're at an age where they can just get up out of the when I can kick them out. You understand the age? When they hit about 18, 17, and they want to overstep the mark, I might not want to hit them, and I might just say, you know what, either you're going to have to get out, because you ain't going to live under this roof doing that sort them sort of actions. So when they're about 17, 18, you know, I'll stop, and I'm just going to kick you out of the house. That's all I'm doing. I ain't going to be putting hands on you no more. Because one of us are going to die. As a man, I don't want to be having to have ill will of my son that I'm going to kill this boy. You understand?
Well, it's actually what Bernard said yesterday. I mean, you know, my house is my house is my house. That's it. You know, and if you too grown to abide by my house rules, then, you know, you can get the fuck out. But you ain't, you know, I mean, it is what it is.
Well, okay, I understand what y'all saying, but I think Ebony basically want to know age or when to, you know, when.
You
but
can't, I mean, hell, you start
but Ebony,
18,
see, here's the
know.
Thing. Hold on, wait a minute, Lo. I know you're about to blow a gasket. Okay, hold on. Ebony, basically, it's like this, Ebony. You know, and I think we said this over and over today. If you start disciplining your kids at an early age, number one, as far as the beatings and stuff are not as frequent as you may think. You know, and if you continue to nurture that child, teach that child the proper way to go, so you may not have to beat him. You may stop beating him maybe at 12, 13, 10, 11. Just depends on the child then, you know, the situation. You know, I guess you can't really say it's a set time or a set age where you just stop, you know, putting your, you know, beating and, you know, disciplining the children.
Give yourself a clap, man. Yeah, and she thinks she's smart. Well, when do you stop beating? We say discipline. She keep bringing beating back in. Yeah, she's so damn smart. Just because you got that damn accent, don't put you over.
Vernon, listen, don't even play,
I know,
right?
We'll defend that to the end.
I know what happened.
Someone's playing with words when you talked about discipline. I heard you loud and clear. Don't be playing. Okay.
No,
so now it doesn't suit you to hear me say beating. You got something to say to me about my accent. Get over yourself, okay? I heard you loud. I heard you clear.
All right, wait a minute.
Ebony,
that was low. That wasn't Vernon. That wasn't Vernon.
I'm sorry, Low. I'm sorry, Vernon, but Low is the one who said, don't play with words. So I wasn't playing with words.
I tell you what, you better calm down before I post that picture you sent me on Facebook.
really?
Yeah. I quiet you down.
Well.
Welcome to overtime.
Yeah. The plot thickens.
I love it. Noah, he's going to get a picture of me. He knows. He knows he won't get one, okay?
And you heard it like in the background, and you're smacking it. The clock's ticking. Where's my picture?
I told you, Ebony, you need to start selling tickets. You can make some money.
I don't know, because Lady kind of crazy, bro. She's crazy, man. So, you know, she's jealous, too. So, you know.
don't say Lady. She'll show up now.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what?
Yeah, boy.
Good thing you're across the pond, because if you were nearer, you know, I'd be slapping you upside your head, so don't even go there.
I know that. Darling, I miss you. I understand. I understand.
You can't even say it.
No, I could do a good American accent, you know. I could do a good American accent.
I'd like to hear
that would make everyone... I could do a good American accent.
You want me to start messing with you like that?
Really, truly, Supreme, I've been to London a few times. You haven't been cultured yet. You've been to London a few times. You're still not cultured.
I know that. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Cultured. Shit. Hey, baby.
Let's ask your
cousin about that. You know, he ain't going to have that now.
Oh, I ain't worried about him. He's not going to get on a plane. I'm not worried about him.
Wow. Bernie, he putting you out there, man. He putting you out
man,
there.
Man, I'm just saying. Hey.
Wow.
If they build a road all the way to London, he'll still drive.
He's telling the truth now.
If they build a road all the way, he'll ride. He'll drive it, but he's not flying.
Vernon, you don't have to get on the plane. Don't worry with him.
I told him. But yeah, hey man, wow. you're running a hell of a week, Mr. Talk. I ain't lying. I mean, today the first day I could call in like I want to, but you're running a hell of a week, man.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. I have more to come.
Yeah.
You can
that absolutely.
One.
So, what was your
problem?
You know,
I say this the first time. I think. What?
What was your problem, bro? With your headset or whatever that was? I mean, you know.
Man, you know, it was atmospheric. Atmospheric.
Oh,
put it that way.
Okay.
Now, you know. Yeah, because I went in and corrected everything I could correct, and we still was having issues, and I come to find out it wasn't me, it was things out there in the weather realm. But anyway, you know, I think this is the first time we've had Ebony and Supreme Moment at the same time.
Okay.
Am I mistaken, Joe?
No, I think they've been on together before.
Mm-hmm.
Have they?
They've been on before.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Not on your show. We've been on another
show.
Yeah,
not on my
show.
Yeah,
not on
not
your
on my show.
Show.
Yeah, I have heard them on before.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
No, well, probably one came on. Well, Supreme probably came on. We lost him. Then Ebony probably came on later. But
yeah,
I'm talking about two that actually interacted with each other.
No,
that's
was,
pretty cool.
No, there was a, nah, there was a situation where Ebony, Supreme, and another woman was on the line, and somehow three of them got into a little tiff.
A tiff.
Me and Supreme never get into a tiff.
Being
we're
that
both
come
from the
from
same
London, it's a tiff.
We're from London and we don't get into tiff.
It's not an
Over
argument,
it.
You know. It's a
wow.
very cultured thing. It
right.
has to be a tiff.
I'm listening.
Let's go ahead and before we get any further, let's go ahead and close out the discipline turn it into abuse part of the show. Okay, let's go on and that out real quick. So, basically, here's the question, and y'all answer one at a time, however you want to do it. When does discipline become abuse, and how do we fix it? Starting with whoever.
Well, I'll go first. Joe had a very good answer and a very good explanation. You start out early with your child, and you show them love and compassion. But at the same time, you also have to show them that there's a strong hand there to correct them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you a year and a half, 2 years old, you go there to touch the hot stove or whatever. Hey, you know, maybe you have to take a little tap on the hands or whatever, or something like that. That's a way to start. You know, I mean, I'm not for just abuse. I mean, all out, you know, taking the boxing gloves off and just beating the hell out of a kid or whatever. I'm not for that. But yes, you mm-hmm. do need to know that there are boundaries. You know, even in a game like basketball, if you step on that line right there, you're out of bounds. You know, and that's even with life. There are certain boundaries that you cannot cross. It's more especially with your parents, you know. And I do agree that both parents have to be on the same accord, because if they're not, then you're only going to have a confused person that you're raising. I'm done.
Hmm. All right.
Very succinct and brief, fellow.
I know.
Thank you.
Can anybody follow that one?
He gets a clap for that.
Oh, he gets a clap for that? Okay.
Sure.
Let's give him a clap, too. All right. All right. There's the clap.
I told you I was at work earlier, and something came to my mind when I was listening to you guys on the show. I was going to do it, but I chose not to. I guess it's a good time, didn't it? If you ask that question again, I would probably say something like, "Hey, Eric. I'm your Huckleberry." Well,
and this
according
is
to Dr. So and so's book.
That went away from the zap. That got away from the growl. That went straight to the shot.
According. Well,
just
well,
going to put
I
that
mean,
on
you,
out there, huh?
Man, you done laid your whole show out, bro. I mean, I was thinking about it. You laid the whole show out, and you said everything. Next thing this bitch come on, well, we need to get the definition first because, and that's when that shot should have came right there. Fuck out.
That's when I went to get a sandwich.
Yeah. Him and Michael sitting on in the stands wishing they could play in the game. Make that something.
Well, I actually think there can be more than one way to look at things. And I think discipline's all about programming, actually, and we spend most of our life being programmed in one direction or another. Discipline's a form mm-hmm. of programming. If you start it and introduce it very early, what you do, you set the framework for someone's thinking, and a child is, that's what you do with your children. So you set the framework. You decide, you help them to understand, good, you know, wrong and right, and what's acceptable and what isn't acceptable. And that programming is so important, because actually that is what will determine their values later on in life, and how they treat other people, most importantly. So you've got to get in early. I think if you're still having to, you know, or discipline someone heavily to the point that you've got to pick your hand up after a child has passed 7 years old, actually, I think then you have not been doing your job properly. Because the Catholic Church says, if you give me a child from his naught till 7 years old, I give you the man that he will be for the rest of his life. And that's absolutely true, because from the age of 0 to 7, those are the most important years when you're talking about trying to embed behaviors and what's acceptable and what isn't. If you miss the boat, you're going to spend the rest of your life fighting a child. And I don't see that as discipline then. You're fighting to establish something you should have started much earlier. That's my point.
All right. Great. Anybody else want to jump on?
I agree with what Ebony was saying. Hey, is my line open?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with what Ebony was saying.
Yeah, your line is open.
and Brother Law and Joe as well, you know. And but you see, this is the aftermath of a society where the majority does not discipline their children. This is what we're seeing today, and it's going to get worse if we're not, if we don't take charge. You know, we're going to have to go around the government and just do what we have to do behind closed doors, simple as. Or we're going to grow up a child that is going to have no respect for not only their parents, but if a child doesn't respect their parents, they're not going to respect any grown-up. Unless, I guarantee they'll respect the drug dealer on the corner because he's going to kill them. You understand? They'll respect many jobs. They're going to whoop. They're going to get these big, muscle-bound guys in jail. They're going to whoop, beat their crap out of them. You understand? And possibly rape them. It depends whatever the way they want to do things. So, you know, this is the society. That, and look at how well-mannered Ebony is. And that's what she knew. She set the mark with her parents. She would have got a whooping. She's a product of good parenting. You see?
Yeah. The men know that, Supreme. They know. That's why they all want to marry me. But I hear that. Sorry.
If she's not all promoting right, her right, show, right. She's promoting marriage.
All right. let's clean that up a little bit, Ebony. The majority of them on the show want to marry you. I can't marry you. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? Whatever else they want to do, I've blanked it out, right? I've blanked it out.
Okay. Oh, Lord have mercy. Man, look, I just got a article sent to me that says first gay sports Hall of Fame set. And, oh, my goodness. Yeah. Is this a National Gay and Lesbian Hall of Fame coming August the 17th? Huh? Oh, my goodness.
And that again is a product of not being able to whoop your child or discipline them if I go and whoop my child for or discipline my child because I saw my son wearing a dress, that's going to be an outcry. That would be seen as abuse, me even disciplining my child because I saw in a dress. And that's again another product of the society that we live in, where people ain't allowed, where the government makes provisions where you're not allowed to discipline your child.
Well, that's where liberalism has taken us. That's from around the 70s when feminism came in. It's meant to divide the country. This idea where your parents are not allowed to discipline a child, but the government can, and they can bring in the Child Protective Services, the so-called Child Protective Services, to protect the kid, when actually it's their dealing, the government is dealing in trafficking. They take these kids away. They put them in foster homes. Some of these kids, they undergo severe hardship because of what the government's done. And it's in sex trafficking, some of these kids.
Yes, and I heard that a majority of the sexual abuse that happens to young kids is when they go into care.
Yeah, and it's done by politicians.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
So it's not even parents who are abusing the children. We've got to look into who's fostering the children. The fact that the government, if you offer them a certain amount of money, you're going to get a child. Whether you ain't going to have to pass no tests, nothing. If you've got the right amount of money, you could have been a criminal, been done for paedophilia. As long as you've got the right amount of money, you can get a child to adopt and do whatever you like with.
Wow. Yeah. You know what, Jeff? I have to agree with you on what you said about the government. Because, in fact, they just, on the trafficking thing, they just, rated, 123 people?
The prostitution.
Yeah, recently. Yeah, the prostitution, child trafficking, sex trafficking. So... You know,
a lot of people
the
don't
system
know that.
We have,
I mean, that's why there was a senator who got practically drummed out of Congress because his name was Franklin. And it was called the Franklin Cover-Up. He had a documentary, which was Boys Town, which is famous here in America for foster care. It was a favorite sex trafficking ground as well for some of the politicians. That's how they get these politicians to vote the way they do. Blackmail, they're pedophiles.
Blame
a lot of them are married, but they're not really heterosexual. they're just scumbags.
Contract marriage, as we call contract marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Marriages of convenience.
That's very good, Joe. Look, I remember that. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. All right, y'all. I guess we done ran out of conversation. Everybody got quiet on me. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to go ahead and shut it down and let y'all get y'all last word in. And we're going to go with the long-winded one. Go ahead, Supreme. You up. Your last words, final words, Supreme?
Oh, my last words. Oh, well, you know, another good broadcast, brother Eric. And, you know, we've got to take charge of these youth. I mean, this is the society that we're in today. This is the result of us not being in charge of our children. And it's going to get worse if we don't grab everyone have control over their children and grab a hold of these children. You know, the young youth out there. And it should be, we should live in a society where, if I know you, Eric, and you know my son, that I would be cool. If you saw my son going to do some foolishness in a shop, like go and steal from a shop, it's all right for you to manhandle him. We'll ever use any sort of force that you need to use to stop him from stealing from that shop or stop him from doing wrong. You understand? We should live in that sort of that, like in the Caribbean, in Jamaica. If a man does wrong, another person's parent, you know, another friend of the family, he will discipline the child because he can, because he knows the family. And there ain't no arguments, there ain't no, you know, beef about it or anything. That's a society that we should live in.
Right.
You know, we should be able to look over our brother, look over our neighbor. You understand? Our brother's keeper, you understand? But we can't live in that if we can't even discipline our children. It's just, if we're not gonna do that. You see what I'm saying? So we have
Good
to grow
gotcha.
Some balls and have some heart. Because I don't care. Police can come to my door and tell me I'm abusing my daughter. The only way you're going to get me to not discipline, I can't live with no children if I'm not allowed to discipline them. Bottom line, I wouldn't even want to be with a woman I wouldn't want to be with a woman who has children, you understand, if I'm not allowed to discipline them. I can't be with her if I'm not allowed to. If they're naughty kids as well, and I can see that she can't handle it, I can't be with a woman that, if I had to, you know, if I left my woman, for example, I couldn't be with another woman that where she ain't got no control over her children. I can't live with a woman like that. You see what I'm saying? I wouldn't want to live with my children if I'm not allowed to discipline them. So it's better the government come and take my children. If I'm not allowed to discipline them, I can't do that.
Okay.
No, that's all I got.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, have a good one, man. Hopefully you'll be here tomorrow for Freedom Friday. All right. Let's see who we got here. Oh, interesting. Chris, where you at?
Hey, what's going on?
All right, you got in on the last word segment. Imagine that.
I know. I just wanted to say hi. Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey.
All right, is that me on YouTube?
Christmas.
Yeah, I'm on. Hi,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, she's in a bad mood today, Chris,
yeah,
so watch
it.
Out.
Who's in a bad mood?
Chris, I mean Ebony is.
Ebony, you're in a bad mood?
I'm not in a bad mood. I'm fine.
Okay.
Ebony's not in a bad mood.
I have a crush on you too, darling. So.
Oh, my God. Join
oh,
the
Lord. Queue. Not another one.
Yep. I heard it yesterday. I was
told
like, hey,
you,
wait
you need to go on and start selling tickets. All right. Are those your last words, Chris?
That's it. I just want to say, hey, y'all. I miss y'all. What's up? I'm excited that I'm on the show, that I did get a chance to talk. And that's it. Hope y'all have a great week and good night and everything. And good morning to you, Ebony, in a few hours.
Yeah. I hope you come on. I'm on tomorrow morning, so you can come on and
okay.
Talk me in the
Mr. Talk, can I get that information from her real quick?
Or yeah,
Don't
worry.
Number is 347-905.
Yeah,
7556, and I'm on tomorrow at 7 a.m., which is my time, but your time, for Eastern time, it's probably about 3 a.m. in the morning. Yeah?
Okay.
So it's pretty early, depending on where you are, or late, wherever you are.
It's 2 a.m. our time, Chris.
Oh, 2 a.m.
Yeah, it's 2 a.m. our time, Chris. Yeah.
The number is, if I can get it again, Mr. Chalk, if that's all right.
347-945-7556.
Hey, don't you have a show today with Dean the Skeeve?
No, I stopped doing shows with Dean.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I forgot you didn't know that.
I haven't done any shows with Dean for about 5 weeks now, I think.
Really?
Maybe about 5 weeks.
It's been a minute.
Wow. Let's not go there.
Okay, I've decided to.
That's
do.
Right.
No,
All right, Chris. Anything else?
No, that's about it. Y'all have fun today and enjoy yourselves. Today's day. Enjoy it. Enjoy today. That's it. All right.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, man.
Okay. All right.
All right, Joe. You had. Mm.
I think everybody had really good points today, and I hope we made the distinction between abuse and discipline. And the same thing with yesterday was a good show. Even Kat had good points. So
yeah.
I think everybody contributed wisely. And I think what it does show is that being a parent is a hard fucking job.
Mm. Very good. I agree with that.
Especially if you're a single parent.
Especially if you're a single parent. That makes it even harder.
Mm.
Okay. Anything else, sir?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Joe. Now, I see you tomorrow for Freedom Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you'll be ready. Mm-hmm. Knowledge, where you at?
I'm here.
Knowledge? Oh, okay.
Hi, Colin.
Last words,
in
sir?
Final analysis. My experience has taught me that all children want discipline. Children like to know what their parameters are due to the lack of experience and maturity that they have. They always want to know what their limitations are. When it becomes abuse is when the punishment is dished out indiscriminately, when there's not enough understanding of what the child is either saying or the child is doing. So when a parent just reacts to negative behavior, it becomes abuse, as opposed to when a parent responds, which means that they actually are taking things into consideration, such as the character of the child and external forces. And that's it.
Wow.
All righty, sir. Thank you. That was deep, wasn't it? I know. All right. Hope to see you tomorrow on Freedom Friday there, Mr. Knowledge.
Indeed.
All right. Okay. All right, Ebony, you got the final word.
Well, I just wanted to say, really great show, Mr. Talk, and to all my lovely male fans out there, great to share a show with you. And just to say that probably being, you know, listen to what Joe said, and I think, Joe, you're absolutely right. It is hard being a parent. I think it's the biggest job you can ever take on in your whole life. It takes such responsibility, you know, to look after someone else's life and to shape that life and to help that child become an adult, you know, to become an adult. And I've seen a couple of adults, a couple of my children into adulthood. And I know, looking back and seeing, you know, how well they kind of developed through the years and seeing what great human beings they are now, tells me that the discipline they had was the right one for them. And every child is different, but I think you really have to tune into who your child is, and you go do it early. You got to start off really, really early at the very beginning. Don't wait for those formative years to pass before you start to, you know, help that child to shape their thinking and to understand that choices create consequences. And that's what they need to understand. They don't need to be beaten up. They need to understand that choices, you know, create consequences. And if they get that from the beginning, then I think they'll become great adults. You'll be, you know, and in adulthood, you can form friendships with them because they understand respect. That's all I've got to say.
All righty. Well, thank you, Miss Ebony. And go get you some rest because you'll be up pretty soon here.
Yes, I will. I'm going to bed soon.
And hopefully we'll see you tomorrow on Free Friday. Hey, we got to get together and sell some tickets.
Definitely.
We can make some money on BTR, Ebony.
we
get our own business going on BTR.
I think so. I think we need to do a little blind date thing, and we'll get all the guys to tell me what makes them a great date. I'm definitely thinking about it.
You know what? You joking, but that's not a bad idea.
It isn't, is it?
We're going to have to work on that one. That'd be fun. Hey, we see we can't get Vicky involved in that, too. That way, you know, it'd be more than one. Okay.
Oh, yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
It would be fun. Get Vicky on.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to have to do that one day. All right. Thank you, Ebony.
Okay.
Have a good one. All right, y'all. Another great show. Hey, I want to give a shout out to Joe, Supreme Knowledge, Low, Vernon, Chris, BP, 111205. Oh man, I see everybody on the switchboard in the chat room. And of course, we got Migraine Enjoying Life, Benny Knowledge, Vicky Griffin, guests, everybody who's listening out there. Thank you for joining the show and supporting the show, because without you, I know I wouldn't have a show, and it wouldn't be where it is now. Wow, I tell you, what a show. And everybody, as Joe mentioned, everybody had outstanding points. And, you know, it's hard to follow up some of the comments that were made, but here's one important thing. If you do not remember anything else about today's show, if you're a parent, remember this. If at any time you feel you are crossing the line, stop. Just that easy. If at any time at all, you feel as though you about to cross that line from discipline to abuse, stop what you're doing. Go and give yourself a timeout. And think about it. Okay? That's all I can say about it. Same, it's just that simple, easy. All right? All right, y'all. Well, like I say, tomorrow, Freedom Friday, you the caller decide the topic. I can't wait for that one. That one should be a good one. Hey, I'll just be here moderating. But, hey, if you got something you want to talk about tomorrow, it's the day to bring it on. Let's get it on, all right? Don't forget, if you got any messages or suggestions, send to ericletstalk@gmail.com. Go to the Facebook at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Leave a message there, friend me. Either or, I'm always there. I'm checking. So don't feel ashamed or don't feel shy. Go ahead. You send something out there, I probably respond. So just do what you got to do, all right? Just let me know you're out there and you're listening. All right, y'all. Well, that's about it for me. Boy, it's been a good one. 2 p.m. Central. Oh, before we get out of here, remember smiling, show appreciation, and forgive with an open heart. But make sure you're forgiving yourself first before you can forgive anyone else. All right? Or trying to forgive someone else is futile or useless. Okay? Well, thank y'all for once again joining the show today. 2 p.m. until 2 p.m. Central tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 Pacific time. This was Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and I am out of here.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2,